Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about the topic of me and nature. It's a wide range of talks that we can talk about infinitely, and every time, we'd like to look at a different aspect of our relationship with nature. In order to learn practical things for life, to learn how can we build such relationships that will make us feel happy, content, in short, how to improve and make our life better. And we'd like to take a journey into nature in order to come back with plenty of new tools of how to improve our life. Nitza, take it away. Yeah, our journey today is going to take a look at what happened to us, human beings, over time. Over time, we had different periods where we were closer, further away from nature. Looking at people from many years ago, from more ancient cultures, there was a feeling that people were in partnership with nature. There was harmony. We understood each other. We as if spoke the same language. And gradually, something happened to us. And we started moving away from nature. And the point in which we are today is that all of us feel that we want to be close to nature. Whether it's to buy a house with a view of the ocean or some park, or I want to raise my children in a green area. It's clear that being close to nature is something good. And also there are different trends now, attempts of trying to go back to nature, maybe trying to live a bit more like in the past, organic food, more natural things. So the first question is, we were close to nature, we moved away, we want to go back. What does this process give us? How does it promote us? I'm sorry to tell you that I completely disagree with what you just said. I don't think that we're returning to nature. I think that it is the continuity of our ego to exploit it more and more as much as we can, and there is no returning to nature here. And how is it possible to return altogether? Of course, a person's true harmony with nature is not only that we'll feel, because our feelings, I don't really believe them, that they're correct. But for us to really reach harmony and true balance with nature, so we will be able to measure correctly that this is the true connection, and then we will be in the healthiest, most perfect state from all options. And I think that we're going through a special process. At first, we developed through the different geological eras and then different human eras. Starting with the different ancient societies. And then we came to the industrial, cultural, and educational, and modern society, and then postmodern society. And all this in order to discover our developing force, that it is an evil force, that we're constantly distancing ourselves from nature, and we're exploiting it. Exploiting it. Without taking into consideration anyone or anything, what are we harming? What kind of disbalance are we introducing? We can fill the seas and the oceans and burn all the oxygen in the air and fill it with CO2. What not? Wherever you go, you can see our footprint there. Our attitude towards ourselves and towards the still, the vegetative and the animate is a destructive one. And the crisis that we're experiencing now is one that by its inner form, the word crisis has two meanings, shattering and birth. This is the meaning of the word crisis in Greek, where on the one hand, it's the shattering of our current approach, understanding of nature, that we find ourselves as truly foolish users, doing things only for the sake of our narrow, short-term ego that we want to get everything here and now, and what happens later, it doesn't matter. And the other side of the coin, of the crisis, is that we're reaching the recognition of evil, and there is a new birth here in our attitude towards nature. And this new birth is that we will change our attitude, and really, really, through the recognition of the evil of the human nature, we will feel that even though that we were born from nature, but later on, the evil inclination developed in us, which is against the harmony of nature, that I am willing to use everything there is in nature for my own benefit without taking anything else into consideration, neither the still, nor the vegetative, nor the animate. And by that I also destroy myself, but I don't understand it. And I use my ego in such a wild way that it can happen in a few months, in a few years, or in a generation or two. That it'll harm my children, my grandchildren for sure, but I can't stop myself. Even in my generation, the things that I cause myself, even if something will happen in a year, I can't stop myself. This is how much my evil inclination, the attraction, the urge, the need to feel some kind of a benefit here and now in my ego, in this special desire. You can poke one of my eyes out if you poke two of his. Truly, this is my attitude towards everything. And so we have to go through the recognition of the evil of our nature and to start treating human nature. Only people are this way. The crown of creation and so on. Here we find man's destructive force against harmony, and so eventually we have to come to the recognition of the evil of our nature. We have to understand that we have to change it, we have to treat it, and then nature altogether for us will be a measure, an example that we gradually have to come closer to. And like in music, we have the camertone that gives us the la, and correspondingly I calibrate my strings, suppose, then the very same way I will take an example from nature and calibrate, tune all the strings of my soul, of my desires, so they'll work in the correct way in harmony with the environment. This desire, this force, isn't it from nature too? It's against nature. It is a force from nature that, like cancer, suddenly it started developing against nature, starting to eat up its environment that eventually puts it to death and itself as a result, because it has nothing more to feed on. The very same way we, as a cancer, are destroying our environment, eventually we'll have nothing to live off and we'll disappear if we'll continue. But I nonetheless see that in the program of nature, there's a certain mechanism, let's call it a special safety mechanism, that gives us the understanding, the recognition of evil, that at the last moment, let's put it this way, we start acknowledging that one way or another we have to overcome our evil, because otherwise we'll die. And if we really feel that our death is coming up tomorrow or even today, then that very moment we can stop and go back to harmony. Completion. So when you're talking about the recognition of evil, what kind of evil is it? Man's attitude towards nature, man's attitude towards other people, and man's attitude towards nature. It's his attitude towards everything. It's the evil that's inside the person, that he does not take into consideration the harmony that exists in the still, the vegetative, and the animate. And a person has to learn from that harmony and to build and to keep it on the speaking level between people in our society, and to continue it only by our own forces. We're the ones that aren't doing it. We're building it the other way around. Meaning, we have a tremendous ability in terms of our development, and we're not using it in order to create equality, completion, love between people, and so on. But we use all these things, lately even medicine and science, everything only against others. If not for my own benefit, then at least against someone. Meaning, always in the direction of disbalance. Such disproportions in everything that it simply leads me to such things that were someone to visit us from another planet and see what we're doing, he'd think that we're all crazy, mentally ill. It is impossible that normal people with a rational mind are harming themselves in such a way with all the ability they have to succeed, and how they're destroying everything without taking their children into consideration. And we see what kind of phenomena, terrible phenomena, we have inside the person himself, inside society, with children, in culture, and everything. It's as if we're going deeper and deeper into the mouth of the snake and can't stop ourselves. Generation by generation, we're disappearing. Just to understand the process, we say that we were born by nature, and then we drew away from it as a result of our evil inclination, and now we're performing self-scrutiny, and I'm sure that as a result we'll return to keep the harmony and attain it ourselves. So this is the process. This is the reason why we're going through all of these stages. We're now building a completely disharmonious world, and practically till the last moment there has to be the complete recognition of evil, where the world is practically destroyed. It doesn't necessarily have to physically happen. Destroyed how? In our understanding, in our recognition. Maybe we won't even reach that, but wise are those who see the future. We see how imperfect it is, how flawed the connection of wet and wet, the harmony that exists in nature and the harmony in human society. Where do you see harmony in human society? There is none. This is what we have to discover. And if we'd have harmony, how good things would be. If we'll work at it, learn about it, develop and nurture this attitude, this approach, then by that, we will start discovering an integral approach to nature. And this way, we will start advancing towards the solution. That we have to build human society. Here it's a problem in mankind. We have to build a new kind of human being that will be able to connect with other people in a good, correct, and nice way, according to what the Torah demands of us. Love another as thyself. Don't do to others what you hate. All of us are friends. All of us are brothers, and so on. This is what we have to reach. Meaning, eventually, we see that also the ancient Torah, the ancient ethics, the ancient morals, they're introducing us with the same demand. The Torah, this method, is something that exists at the essence of humanity, only that man is still following his inclination. What kind of inclination? I understand that there is a destructive force. If I understand, then in nature there is harmony. To begin with, we were a part of nature. Then the destructive force developed in us, created disharmony between us human beings, and this is what distances us from nature. Is this correct? Yes. So what is this destructive force that disconnected us from the harmony of nature and created complete disharmony between humans? That I enjoy being more than you. Emotionally, intellectually, in assets, in power, in everything. That I control you. There's a missing link in this process, the way I see it, because I felt that I'm a part of nature, and suddenly I started growing apart from nature, and suddenly there's also the aspect of relations with people. No. It's the same. So there's a missing link here, because there's me and nature. What do you mean, you and nature? In the past, you were like a little cute monkey jumping from place to place. You bared offsprings, small little monkeys, in some tribe, and you lived in peace. Well, there too you have different degrees, but it's all natural. They never harm each other. Even animals that are fighting each other about who's more, who's less, they never hurt each other. You know that. Suppose two bulls, the way they ram each other, who's stronger, who's going to be the leader? They're only as if testing their strength, but they never harm each other. And the way they look and the way they do it, only in order to intimidate. And if there's such phenomena like one animal being harmed by another animal, even cats, sometimes they really beat each other up. All night I can't sleep because of their crying. There are two cats that decided to fight over who's the king of my street, and so I can't sleep at night. I can't see what they're doing, but it sounds like they're killing each other. No, can't be. They can yell for hours, but it's impossible that they fight so much that they'll harm each other physically. What then? Only a battle of strength. There's barely any physical contact. There is, but, you know, it's head-to-head, kind of, only in order to present your strength. Man enjoys harming other people. Just a second, about what you started telling Nitsa. We started with once she used to be a monkey, giving birth to smaller monkeys. The struggle was about who's stronger. To build a hierarchy, yes. And then what happened? Where did we grow apart from nature? This is how we were in the past. We used to be monkeys, and then afterwards, we became human beings. We started living in caves, in a tribe. There was a clear hierarchy. Everything was clear. Everything was perfect. We completed each other. We ate together, lived together, everything together. No one felt that he's different than others. This is something that we don't understand today. The development was such that we're so much brothers that me and him, it's the same in everything. It's hard to understand. Really, from the same dish. Later, because of our developing brain, our developing intellect, we started discovering tools that can help us instead of going to hunt some animal and eat it or collect a few fruits. We developed agriculture. We collected the crops. We domesticated animals. We started using their milk and furs and different such things. Wool and so on. And this is when man started working in such a way that he'll be able to provide himself and his wife and children with what they need. And also, people kind of started disturbing each other. And so they started moving away a bit from each other. And also, they had the need to build different tools for plowing and clothes and shoes. Let's put it this way. They started specializing in different things, and then they started moving away from each other. But it's like in a village, you know, it's relative. He does this, I do that, and so on. Until we started moving even further away, and trade started. As it says, go and trade and get rich. And then the more the one has, maybe the less the other has, and so on. Our desire is no longer just to fulfill myself, but to see how much better I am than others. This is how the desire develops in a person. It doesn't exist in the still vegetative inanimate. There, everything is operated by an instinctive program that operates the body, and this is how the body lives. No one's to blame for how they behave. Man is also not to blame for how he behaves, but In a person, there is a program that's developing from generation to generation, developing man. And from generation to generation, man is becoming more evil, not only enjoying what he has and more than he has, something that animals don't have at all. An animal, if it ate, it doesn't need any more. If a lion ate enough, and, you know, he's laying around, you can stand next to him. He's not even looking at you. For him, you're not food. He already ate, so there's no problem. Therefore, man, it's not that he wants to fulfill himself, but he wants to deplete others. He enjoys it. His desire is above the desire for material things. His desire isn't only to be greater in some small tribe in the woods, but he wants to be king of the world. And therefore, his evil inclination is limitless, this desire. Why is it evil? Because it enjoys harming others. Not only that one fulfills himself, maybe at the expense of others, but on purpose harms others and enjoys that. Suppresses them, humiliates them, maybe kills them, and so on. And so we reach a state where we're starting to reach such dimensions because we're growing, we have industry, we have weapons and everything, and especially the weapon of the power of money, the power of banks, and the judicial system. We are becoming the tools of that evil inclination. And then what happens is that our ego that wants to rule and to destroy everyone is truly willing to destroy everyone because we don't care about anything, about what we're doing now. We're in a ceaseless race, so much that we don't have time to take a breath. But to deplete whatever we can from earth, from people, to get everything that we can out of industry, the financial system, everything. We're in a capitalistic race of more and more and more, each and every one of us. Why? The evil inclination forces us to. What do we have as a result? Doesn't matter. I have to have more than everyone. Why? I don't know. The evil inclination is working in me this way. It's burning. I can't do anything. Can I ask? Yes. You just described the process we went through since we were monkeys, then we lived in a tribe, and so on, and to this day where everyone wants to destroy everyone and even enjoys harming and suppressing others. You actually described the growing apart of people throughout history. Now, before you started describing this process, you said that in the past, we used to be a part of nature, then the destructive force developed in us, and we distanced ourselves from nature. Now, from what I understand, it's not that we split off from nature, but people grew apart from each other. And what I'm asking is, what's the connection between human beings moving away from each other throughout our development and the destructive force that developed in us and distanced us from nature? To be in nature, it means to be in harmony with oneself, with the environment, to live within the laws that are instinctively, naturally working on us, that I'm not aware of what I'm doing. Like animals. Just a second, this I don't understand. I want to repeat the question. Better, let's follow what I'm saying. I'm an animal. I live my life with other animals, with the vegetative and the still. And I'm activated by nature. And I live my life. You can even see such people that live in some remote places. And what are you living for? I live. What are you living for? I live because I need this and that and life. You know, something very simple, nice. Nature's activating him. Does he want more? No, this is enough. You see, I have this, that. I don't need any more. I saw such people, and I was stunned with what they need. He says, I have 5 sacks of potatoes, you know, it's big sacks, and 2 sacks of cabbage, and I kill and smoke my pig, and I have what to eat in the winter, and I live my life like a bear that goes into his hole and sleeps there, hibernates there. This way he prepares everything for himself and lives his life in Europe and Russia. Do you need more? No, it's enough. Meaning I'm set for the winter. Television, radio, something. If I have, I have. If I don't, I don't. You can't even ask, what are you doing in your free time? This, that. It's this way all the time. Meaning a person lives a natural life. He has no evil inclination. He doesn't look at others. Like any other animal, took care of himself, and that's that. There are also such people today, even though that our civilization exists for hundreds of thousands of years, but still, there are people that live this way, even in our times. And there are more developed levels, where people want more. They want food for the future. He doesn't need it. He said, this is enough. His brain is not set to look forward. His heart, his desire, his inclination, the inclination is the desire, is not set to want more. Maybe another television, some appliance, some special kind of heating or cooling. Maybe I'll build a swimming pool in my backyard. He doesn't need anything. Doesn't have the desire for it. There are people that have bigger desires. So, according to their desires, they're starting to look for how to fulfill their desires. For example, what kind of desires? After food, even in terms of food, I want to have a big storage, refrigerators. I want. You know, you can be very excessive about food. Then you have sex, family. So I have to be in touch with others. For sex, maybe I need money. For a family, I need a big building. I need education for my children. You know, it's all interdependent. You're operating many systems here. Then money. What do I need these food supplies for? Sex, family, everything. If I have a sack of golden coins, I have everything. Whenever I need, whatever I need, I'll use it. So maybe I have food, but I don't have clothes. I have clothes, but I don't have shoes. But if I have gold, I can get what I need whenever I need. Yeah, it's the general equivalent of everything. So then I want wealth. Then I see that someone wants to rob me, and they tell me, your life or the sack? Do I have a choice? The sack will stay and I'll go. No, let the sack go. I'll stay. So I see that you need power, an army, guards, protection, control eventually. And so my desire for control develops. I want to rule. So, instead of gold, I buy people that I control. So, after I control people and so on, I see that all these things are worthless if I'm not in control of my thoughts, knowledge, to foresee the future, how to control, what for, and so on. From the control, I start developing systems in order to control, to govern. And then I discover that these systems aren't even in order to control physically, but to control with your mind. I want to control society. I want to control the country. I want to control people's thoughts. And then I reach a state where I want science, because I see that this is the greatest power, knowledge, that actually allows me to reach the strongest control, to rise to the strongest control. And this is how I develop. In this entire development, I use my evil inclination more and more. And eventually, I reach the biggest level of disbalance with my environment and nature. What do you mean by using my evil inclination in this development? Because what am I developing these things for? Why? In order to gain something. Were it not in order to gain something, I'd be like that monkey or like that person with a sack of potatoes and cabbage at home, doing nothing. And what's wrong with gaining things? You call it the evil inclination. By that, I push human society out of balance. I begin wars of arms or money, or use different strategies in order to destroy others, for my neighbors to have less grass than I have, and I have more women and property and foods, and I build a castle for myself, and it has to be more than others have, and so on and so forth. Meaning, what does it mean to develop? Nature isn't developing. In the past, there was development, but from the still to the vegetative to the animate, and every species took its place, and that's where it was, in harmony with everything else. The human species that surpassed everything else in its development, that development started directing humanity the wrong way, toward others, toward nature, toward everything, the still, the vegetative, the animate. What's the difference between a person that wants to be better than everyone else and a monkey that wants to be first in hierarchy in its tribe? A monkey carries out the instinctive orders of its nature. And these forces aren't in order to develop them, but in order to give them, on the animate level, an existence in the right order and hierarchy, that this is how they have to exist. There's a big bull, and small bulls, there is a big monkey that's sitting like this, all big, and everything's his. But they can't live without that. So it's the same about us. No, but we came from the monkeys. Yeah, but that monkey that lives and controls everyone, he's not doing it against others. Nature activates that monkey. It has no free choice. What do you mean by against or not against others? It sounds like the key of things. What does it mean to act adversely against others? Suppose I'm small, so I'll be that big monkey. That's $200,000. I went with my teacher, the Rabash, to the zoo. He never saw an elephant before, so showed him an elephant. Yeah. So suppose I'm the big monkey, and you're a smaller monkey. And so we looked at that $200,000 monkey. It was really big. So suppose I'm the big monkey, and you're a smaller monkey. We had a kind of struggle. I turned out to be stronger, and I'm the king of apes. You're saying that it's natural, there's nothing bad about it. You're not harming others. If I'm the big monkey, and you're second in hierarchy, then it's not bad. They don't have a question of good or bad. There's no such question of do I have to be strong or weak. Nature, from within, forces him to act that way, to climb up the hierarchy of monkeys and be number one, because he's the strongest. You have a rock. Someplace on a mountain. The earth's shaking, and that rock tumbles down, and now it's in some other place. Did the rock do anything? No, it's part of the system. Same here with the monkey. It's a part of the system. That's it. Now let's talk about human society. Suppose I'm the monkey with a suit and a tie, and up until now, you were number one in the business environment that we worked in the directorate. Okay, directorate. It's like the example you gave with the rock that the earth moved and it fell to a new place now. There was turmoil in the organization that we work in. You were number one, and now I'm number one. Yeah, you shook things up. You pushed me down. And now I'm somewhere down there. So that's the thing, that I shook things up. It wasn't the system. Where's the evil here? Because to me it seems completely natural. I agree. It's really hard to understand. The only thing is that it's natural, that goes without saying, and that it's the evil inclination that's operating in us, and that it's natural, that's also clear, and that this is how it's supposed to be. The question is, in my development, I reach a state where I enjoy. In any human development, eventually, when I became a human being, when I stopped being a monkey, from that point on, I enjoy measuring myself against others. How much do I harm them? So you're saying that I measure myself against others and how much I harm them? Yes. I measure myself against others. A monkey doesn't measure itself against others. It's clear that it has no choice. It has no choice. It doesn't have the brains, the emotions by which it can stop itself and maybe do things differently. It simply operates according to the desires that awaken in it. Yes, natural desires. A person examines where can I benefit myself and harm others, and a monkey doesn't have that examination. A more natural one. In a person, it's human. Let's put it this way. Let's not get into it. Maybe we got too deep into this scrutiny. Let's maybe look at it from the other side. A monkey, by its development, does not breach the harmony that exists between the monkeys, between the monkeys and nature. Maybe it's easier to explain it this way. And man does breach it. Man destroys everything. Human society, a monkey builds in its hierarchy. I'm the big monkey, and I take care of all those monkeys that are under me. I make sure that we're in a good and nice place, that everyone will get along. I never destroy anything. So a big monkey takes care of everyone. A big monkey takes care of all the smaller monkeys. He's in the first place, and from there he takes care of everyone else. Of course, it's his tribe. So strong in nature is strong in taking care of others. We see, and they don't simply attack each other. They divide how many trees belong to you, how many trees belong to the big monkey, or between the lionesses, there's a division, like with cats, you know. And man wants to harm others. Tell me, a cat has a backyard of its own, and another cat has a backyard of its own. If one transpasses, they can't stand it. But each in his own yard, he's a king, doesn't need anything. And he doesn't want the other's yard. On the contrary, try taking a cat out of its home. It doesn't want to leave. It's cleaved on to its apartment. You have a cat, suppose? Try to change apartments and get your cat out of your previous apartment. The cat and move it to the new apartment. It can't. My friend told me he had a cat. And he moves from Tel Aviv to some other place, to some skyscraper, and the cat, it jumped very quickly. Because a cat is adhered to its place. So what I want to tell you is that they don't need anything from anyone else. They don't look at what the other has. They don't have an evil eye for others. So there are two differences here. The difference is that everyone is in their natural niche. Everyone protects what they need to protect instinctively, and therefore everyone is in balance, in harmony. Compared to human beings, people in their development breach the harmony in nature, not only in human society. Did you ever see animals that destroy the forest that they live in? Do you see fish in the ocean littering? Man controls everything and destroys everything. He's going against the harmony of nature. This is his problem. It's called against God, the general force of nature. And then he finds himself in a crisis, one against the other, he against nature. And here is the place of self-scrutiny that we came to. So if we really reach this point that we came to, your explanation created some kind of a completely new understanding the way I see it. Because for me, there are two completely different systems of relationships. There's me and nature and the ocean and the forest, the still vegetative and the animate. And there's me and other people. And the two aren't interconnected. So when I say that I want to go back to nature, for me to go back to nature means to nature. Means to be closer to it physically, maybe eat more natural things. This is what you consider as nature? In my perception, just a second, this I don't understand. Going back to nature, maybe it's going back to living on the trees. So I think that this is exactly the scrutiny. What does it mean to return to nature? So I think this is the question. What does it really mean to return to living in harmony with nature? Because from what I see, there are things like sustainability and protecting the environment that people do understand that they're harming nature. They're trying to protect nature somehow. So we're trying to understand, like you said, the recognition of evil. Yeah, as a human being, I'm starting to understand that I'm harming nature. So I'm trying to change my attitude towards it, to be nicer to it. But I'm not thinking about my relationships, my attitude towards other people. That I see as a different system of relationships. Only now, from your explanation, I understand you see all of this as one, that by distancing myself from people, I actually distance myself from nature. Madam, on our previous talk, I already said that our problem is that we see ourselves as something separate from nature, from the still vegetative inanimate, as if I'm above it, and that's the problem. What is the crisis? That we're discovering that we're inside this system and that it's above us, and if we keep going the way we do, the system will kill us because we will be completely disbalanced with it. We're inside the system, against my will. This is where I am. I can't disconnect myself from it. What universe am I going to go to? Everything's influencing me. All in all, what am I? This tiny thing that's living on Earth, that can explode at any moment. Of course we're a part of nature. And you're right. This is what people are used to. I remember that this is also what I was taught at school, that we are the crown of creation, that we are the bosses and we have to do whatever is for the benefit of human beings. I remember, let's redirect this river in this direction, take down this mountain, build something else, and then we saw that it comes right back at us like a boomerang. And it costs us many folds to correct it, if it's possible to correct it at all. Okay, so if I understand correctly, you're saying that a person's attitude towards others and also towards the environment that we live in is destructive. It's an attitude that developed in us, in humanity, and you say that it's something natural, and the disharmony in our life is what causes human suffering. Yes. So, if I want to get rid of the suffering, I have to bring back harmony into my life that we lost somewhere on the way. Right. So how do I bring back the harmony into my life? Is this what it means to go back to nature? That we've distanced ourselves from nature and now we're coming back consciously and so on? This is what it means to restore harmony in our life? No, this isn't what Nietzsche means by sustainability and so on. You also sound very ecological, because you talked a lot about nature and that we're destroying Earth. I'm not talking about forests and rivers and the trees and the oceans and the ozone and something. By nature, I mean the entire general system that we have to reach balance with. And the main thing that we have to bring back into balance, the place where we're especially disbalanced, is human society. It's between us, people. This is mainly what's disbalanced. Because I was all the time drawn to disbalance, to being above others, so I've reached a state where I'm destroying nature, and I've almost destroyed it completely, because I prefer disbalance, for me to be on top and for you to be below. And all of our work is to educate people that the ideal state is balance, to help each other, love another as thyself. Everyone's equal, even though that everyone's different, but everyone's equal. And we have to learn all these things, and the inclination towards that is really the clean, ecological inclination, the good and correct correction. And don't think that if we nurture some nice garden, that brings us back to nature. We're continuing with the very same ego, only in even more distorted ways. So what does it really mean to go back to nature? First and foremost, to educate people, to teach them, to see the disbalance that his development brought him to, the recognition of evil, how to reach the good inclination and a balanced life in human society. According to the correction that we'll perform in human society, on the way, we'll also start treating the rest of nature, still vegetative and animate, differently. Obviously, that goes without saying, because the higher degree of our correction will also determine our attitude to the lower levels, to the animals, vegetative and the still. So when we say that going back to nature can take us to a better place, I have to understand that it means that going back to nature means going back to balance between people, like the balance that exists in the rest of the parts of nature. Yes, until we feel that we're one tribe, like brothers. And there you have those that are smart, and those that aren't that smart, and the stronger, and the weaker, and men and women, and the four different kinds of human beings, black, white, yellow, red. And so what? We're all equal. Even though that we're all different. And the equality is relative. Everyone has what they need. Rationally. Like animals. And all the rest will be filled by love, by our good attitude towards each other. So that you'll have no desire, no need, no empty void left inside your soul, in which you will not enjoy the harmony, like you told us about when you saw the moon rising and so on, because the love of the environment will fulfill all of your inner voids. And for your body, you don't need more than an animal needs, because it's the animate level. It will get enough calories and things and what it needs. These are simple things. You don't have to create millions of kinds of foods in order to get rich and then to throw this money on nonsense and so on. You'll really enjoy the harmony. And usually harmony, it's something easy, good, simple. Like we said, there's no greater joy than the resolution of doubts. Meaning you felt really bad because of the disbalance that you felt in the recognition of evil. And now you feel really good because atop the disbalance, now you feel balance. Suppose you had a musical instrument that's really out of tune, and now you tuned it, and everything falls into place in mind, in heart, you hear the melody. So my way to calibrate myself with nature is to first of all calibrate myself with those like me, with other people. First and foremost, all the rest of the lower degrees will be corrected by themselves because we correct our relations. Because the main thing is the relations between people. Therefore, the integral education is the key and the solution for all of this harmony, for all of the beauty that we want to discover in nature. I more or less understand the general idea. Now I want to ask, what do I have to do immediately? If I want to get closer to nature in my personal life, what should I do? Because the general picture includes everyone and everything. There are many philosophies, circles, confusions, methods. I recommend integral education. Obviously, I'm asking in the framework of integral education. The first step I take and going back to nature, which is in the right direction for sure. To learn these things, you have to join a class. Obviously, I'm not asking about the process. I'm asking, what is the first thing to do that will align me with nature? First thing, to learn who I am. What should I look at? Can you give me some homework? No. Homework you get after the lesson. Next time, we'll have a lesson about who I am, and then you'll get homework. If I'll know who I am, I'll return to nature. First of all, to know something about myself, of course. And what does it have to do with returning to nature? Then you'll know who's the one that has to return to nature. Who am I in comparison with nature, in comparison with society? And then, who am I in my current state, and who am I supposed to be? And balance and disbalance. But first of all, who am I? It's a complicated topic. Our time's up, Dr. Lightman. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best.